Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Dude, what is going on?
What up?
Well, I feel a little better than I did 1 week ago at this time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had the sinus migraine that would have killed a small blue whale last week.
You got the penicillin shot?
Right in the anus.
Ow. Ow.
Right in the muscle? They like to give it to you in the rump sometimes.
Oh, that's not the anus. I'm not an expert in anatomy, but for crying out loud.
Well, you know, I'm actually allergic to the penicillin, so I can't get the penicillin.
Except for in the anus.
That's right. If it's direct.
So we had some criticism that we were like frat boys or something.
Whoa, I forgot about that. Yeah, let's talk about that.
In the anus talk, we're right into that. I guess we are frat boys, right?
Well.
This is Delta. No, that's the
Delta,
sorority.
Delta Tau Chi.
Or Tai Kappa Epsilon.
Delta, Delta, Delta. Or no, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. The Tri-Lambs.
Revenge
of the Nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really us.
No doubt.
So are you anyway.
Tell me about this criticism we had.
You're the guy who read it. I don't even have an iTunes account. You need to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Yeah, so we had some...
We're on iTunes.
Yes, of course.
Some of you are probably getting us through iTunes.
Yep. And if you want to subscribe, you can go on there. And you can even review podcasts.
Which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm.
So on the podcast listing, you can review the podcast. And, of course, I, as the first listener to our podcast – actually, Rich is the first listener. I'm kind of the second listener. So I went up there, and I've got the iTunes account, and I put a little posting on there saying, well, if – I think I said something like
if presidents can vote for themselves.
If presidents can vote for themselves, I can review this. I think the show's great. Something to that effect. And forever, that was the only review. And then recently, when we sort of got back into the shows again, I went up there just randomly, looked at the feed, and I saw that someone else had reviewed us. And the gist of it was, yeah, it's okay. I give it like
four out of five
stars or something like that.
And but the review was entitled "Don't Let the Stars Fool You."
Right,
that was the title of the review. Four out of five, but don't let the stars fool you.
It was a backhanded compliment. They were saying, "Yeah, the production quality is good. Audio quality is excellent, superb. You know, Rich got the little weenie action when he heard that.
I got a rock hard erection."
It's kind of like listening to, fraternity guys sitting around talking. Nothing really great there. So that was the gist of it. You know, he liked our production quality, but thought that we were just kind of silly. I don't know which show he talked about or listened
to. Yeah, we have no way of knowing that.
Yeah, because there's hundreds of them. There's thousands of shows. Well, at least 147.
Something like that.
But
we're nearing 150.
And on occasion, we get goofy and talk about anus injections and stuff like that.
In fact, I need one right now. You'll have to excuse me.
but I think that we get into some serious topics, and
it's not purely
potty humor.
And if you listen to show number two of the Lech Kowalski interview, yeah, it got a little crazy.
Yeah,
Rich
had seven too many drinks.
Yeah, well, we were all drinking pretty heavily that night, and I believe it was Mr. Tallarico, who wanted to open up the second bottle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we did open the second bottle. We imbibed, but, I knew when to call it quits. Some other people...
Well, that's because you were driving. But right. Leck and I got a little hammered. And, that might have gotten a little sophomoric at times, a little frat boyish. But, that's a minority.
But I also wanted to talk about that. I think it's fine that... Occasionally, we get goofy and we don't have like a script that we're talking from. We're not an educational show. We're not a news show. It's not like we're sitting around reading the latest news off a teleprompter. We don't have anything in mind except for just some rough ideas of what we're going to talk about. And we want this thing to be a natural real conversation.
Which everybody is stealing now. Like, all mm-hmm. of these shows that are on the air now are stealing this idea, you know?
Well, I don't think that they're stealing it from us, but I think they're stealing it from independent media.
We invented it. Right. You know, what was the show that was on the Sundance Channel or something where, like, people would be sitting in a restaurant and talking about movies? I think you would, or maybe an independent film channel.
I think
you
that was John Favreau's.
Yeah. Yeah. They stole that from us. Vince Vaughn stole his whole shtick from me. You know how I do.
Right.
What's the action on that? You know how I do.
So I think that the purpose of podcasting, and I really want to get into this maybe on the next show, is to be real. This is kind of like cinema verite, but it's, you know, it's radio, it's internet verite. We're not trying to be the slick media. We're trying to be real people and people that you can
real
sit in.
Real people. So you're Sarah Purcell and I'm Skip Stevenson.
I was thinking that we're more like, that's incredible, and you're John Davidson, and I'm...
My hair is very much like John right. Davidson's now.
You need to get the little streak. I'm Fran Tarkenton, if anything.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we're just goofing around, but we're having a real conversation, kind of like everyone has real conversations, and we're hoping to have people join in on the conversation, or at least eavesdrop on the conversation.
Well, and we would also like to ask anyone who may not necessarily agree with that review that we are not frat boys sitting around talking about, you know, I don't know. What do frat boys talk about? You know,
getting
women,
drunk, getting laid.
Yeah, getting drunk, getting laid.
And, hey,
smoking a little ganj.
Hey, whose party are you going to next? And how do I get out of taking that exam? And, so and for the record, I've never been part of a fraternity.
Nor have I. And for those of you who download our show through the iTunes service, you are allowed to post reviews. So any of you who would like to, and please do, because we want you to, actually post whatever you if you think we're frat boys, say so. I mean, by all means, put a review up there if that's what
honest
you think.
Honest reviews, that's what we want.
Yeah, we don't want you to go up there and pad the review thing with just a bunch of good crap if you don't mean it.
Yeah, we can do that ourselves.
That's right. I haven't even posted one yet. I got to get an iTunes account and do it, even though—
You must.
But yeah, if you're using the iTunes service, please go up there and from the heart, say what you how you feel about us. I mean, there are certainly listeners who, you know, we had that one listener who hated us for our name, I recall, you know, but she reluctantly, Kathleen or something was her name, she reluctantly listened to a few shows and said something like, yeah, you guys are pretty good, but I still hate your name.
Right. So we changed our name for like 1 minute to the Flaming Orgasms.
That's right. Yeah, the Flaming Anal Injections.
And there you go. I've got my frat boy hat on right now. I've got my Tri-Delt or Tri-Lam sweatshirt on.
And we're drinking JD straight. Luai Luai is playing in the background.
Milwaukee's
and
best.
And we're wearing togas.
We're going to a kegger tonight.
We're wearing togas. So yeah, go to iTunes, post a review, whatever you feel about us, however you feel about us, whatever you think about us, whatever you want to say about us, you know, post a review. We could use a little more publicity since John and I are trying to take the world by storm since we've restarted the podcast. I was looking for a good word and
like start. Yeah, we're not well, and this is again, we're going to get into that whole independent roots grassroots media thing. We're not looking to become billionaires off this because I don't even think it's possible. But we are looking to latch on to some cash and
well,
and
we're
the
trying
women.
To
mostly
have
the women
have an impact of some kind. You know,
right.
You and I might define impact differently, but having some being impactful,
something hitting something else, something
impactful would be good, and with your help. We can do it. Right. Go to the Bloodthirsty Vegetarians, bloodyveg.com, and click the bailout button.
Dude.
Which you were supposed to change.
Bailout? Oh, yeah.
We're gonna change
I forgot
it
about
from
that.
Donate to bailout.
Maybe I still will.
So what's going on in the news, man? Big news lately. If the shoe fits,
well,
throw it.
Throw it. Our esteemed leader, our fearless leader, made a surprise visit to Iraq.
Our imperious leader, the leadificator.
So he was having this press conference with the Iraqi president. Nice pour. With
pouring the wine.
One of the Iraqi puppets that we've got there.
That's right. One of the installees.
one of the Iraqi puppets.
John is swabbing the wine off of
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, he poured it all over the place. So there are this little two podiums next to each other.
And I'm sure you've all heard about this by now.
And it looks like a press room kind of like the White House, except for if it was in a tent and they were all folding chairs.
That's right. And, if it were the White House but had, like, no budget.
Right. And this one Iraqi, maybe, I don't even know who he is, someone who lives there. Supposedly, he's a journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He, and I'm thinking that this was planned. He got up, took off one of his shoes, and just winged it at the president's head. And our
wing-tipped it, if you will.
Our cat-like leader, he just ducked out of that one. But then
he is El Gato.
But he reloaded, he locked and loaded, and then fired again his other shoe, and I think that beamed him.
I don't know. The footage I saw no connection, but you're claiming there was an impact. Speaking of impact.
Yeah, go online. I'm sure you've seen the video on YouTube. There are a lot of parodies now that are just hysterical. I think he got hit by the second shot. One of the little parodies was like an animated GIF file. Someone had overlaid on top of it like a video game. And it was like the president versus this other guy. They were in a duel, and the first shot missed, and then the second shot hit him, and like some health points went down.
Well, I think this is kind of funny, actually.
I'm laughing too.
I think, you know, what was it? The Jerky Boys, you know, Frank Rizzo. You know the Jerky Boys. Mm-hmm. Frank Rizzo was doing his obnoxious Italian guy routine, and he was like, you know, I could use a good shoo-in in the nuts. And that's kind of like what happened to our president, except the guy needed to aim a little lower and the podium needed to be a little lower. You know, our president got a little shoe in the nuts.
I think it's funny, but
back
I also
to the frat boys.
I also think, and our frat boy president, I also think that he thought it was funny.
He
for
may
a
have.
Second.
Yeah.
Because I'm serious. You look at that footage and slow it down. He's got a little smirk on his face after that first shot, almost like, cool, hit me.
Well, this is like, this took me back to NAMM, dodging them rockets. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't
dodging
do that.
That. Dodging that.
Wait a
that,
minute. I was a draft dodging.
Service.
Yeah, that's right.
No, he was dodging the first one. He's like, cool, he shot a shoe at me. This is cool. Came to Iraq and I'm getting fired upon.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a nice little press conference. I think a lot was accomplished.
It was an improvised...
performance art is what it was.
It was an improvised putific device. It was like an IPD or something.
But the best part of the whole thing, all the coverage from the traditional media, they're making it into this big statement. Like, throwing a shoe in the Muslim culture, it's a sign of disgrace. I'm thinking that in every culture, it's a sign of disgrace. You throw a shoe at someone's head.
In Arabic cultures, there's something about the shoe. And I posted something about this on Facebook today because I used to have this friend who I think was a Saudi. He was Arabic. And he once told me that this is an awful insult. And basically, you raise your foot, you show them the bottom of your shoe, and then you clap your thigh with both hands. And there's something about the fact that a shoe walks in the dirtiest, you know, it walks mm-hmm. among, like, you know, there could be dog feces or dung down there. So showing someone the bottom of your shoe, which may have, you know, elephant turd on it or something, is very offensive, you know? So
I don't know. I'm thinking that they're thinking about it too much. They're putting too much thought into it. What I'm seeing is, as a guy who gets in there, he wants to do something against the president. He can't bring a weapon. I'm sure there's Secret Service everywhere, and I'm sure there's military everywhere.
He brought a weapon.
So what's he
you
got
know,
on
he,
him?
He used sex as a weapon.
He couldn't throw a pen. That would hurt. It might stick in his eye.
I don't know. A good quality leather shoe's got a little bit of heft to it, especially my size 13s.
So he had to improvise. He had an improvised device, like you said.
Yeah, it was an improvised, you know, foot device, an IFD.
Right.
Well, anyway, you know what? I think our president had it coming, and I'm okay with it. I ain't got a problem with it. You know why? Because
okay
he's caused a lot of suffering in that region, and apparently it has created a lot of unity and nationalism in their country. There's a lot of people on the streets throwing shoes at our troops right now.
Are they doing that?
As a sign of unity. Yeah. No, it's
Are they attached to explosives?
No, I think people are just throwing shoes as a sign of unity, and I'm okay with that, you know, because at least there's some unity there, you know.
Well, I'm hopeful, and I think everyone else is, and I think that we're anticipating a pullout.
That's right.
I think that we're going to be out of there within a year.
No
I'm
more shoes being thrown.
And no more of our people getting run or killed by improvised explosive devices.
So we're drinking a little a gift, actually. It was a Christmas gift from Garlic Chris to me. And today we're drinking the Red Bicyclette, which is a French Pinot Noir, a Pinot Noir. And it's a 2006. And I love it because the little fake cork that they give you says bonjour with an exclamation point written all over it like four times. Like as you spin the cork, it just screams bonjour at you. You know,
I love the fake French stuff in Vegas. And it reminds me of when I went to the Paris Hotel and Casino. And when you sit down at the tables and you play cards,
yeah.
Before every hand, when they shuffle the decks and everything, they clap their hands, they show them to the cameras because they've got cameras everywhere,
sure.
And they do this little routine and they go bonne chance,
nice.
And sometimes you get a dealer who is maybe not so literate and they go bonne chance. It's great, good stuff.
Good luck.
Yep.
What have you been doing lately? What's going on with you? I know you enjoyed a concert without me.
Oh,
every
yeah.
concert that you've gone to in the past 3 years has been with me.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, this this friend of mine from my last job, he...
Which, national?
The Gritification.
Yeah.
So, he and I share a lot of musical taste. He's a big prog fan. He also likes Steely Dan. Sometimes I don't enjoy the music that he listens to, so like Bruce Springsteen, that kind of stuff. But we have a lot of crossover there. So
there's a little crossover. You know what I like about the Springsteen?
What's that?
I like the fact that he's got a mob conciliary playing guitar in his band.
Right,
that's what I love about Bruce Springsteen.
Whoa!
So not for nothing tone.
T.
That's right.
So every time he suggests a band or he's got an idea of a band or he starts listening to something, I listen to him and I take his advice and I give it a chance. I give it a listen because I trust
it's
his
better than not giving a listen.
His musical instinct. And he suggested a band to me, which I've heard. I've heard the name before, but I never really listened to. And they've been around for a long time. And it's called Wilco.
I have heard of Wilco.
You've heard of Wilco?
Yeah. I had heard of them even before. You mentioned it.
Yeah, and I never listened to them before, and they've been around. They're like in the alt scene. And,
didn't know one of their songs, still really don't.
And I don't think any of their songs have really been hits on the radio. Maybe they were big hits on like college radio. They've been around since the mid, late 90s. But man, he gave me all of their albums that he could give me. And I wanted to prepare.
Like illegally?
He lent them to me. He purchased them.
Vinyl?
No.
Albums?
No. CDs.
Oh.
Because he had an extra ticket to a show in Rochester the next week. And
where was that? What was the venue?
It was the Rochester Auditorium. It was by one of the universities there. But it was a small place. It was kind of like one of the old theaters.
Is it a hockey arena?
No.
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 Because I've seen Billy Joel at the big hockey arena in Rochester.
No, this is a lot like the Stanley or the Landmark Theater.
Is Grand the Stanley? Is that
no,
nice?
No, it's not as ornate, but it's a similar size and shape.
Uh-huh. But it's not new, it's old kind of? Or
it's, if I were to guess when it was built, probably in the 30s or 40s.
Uh-huh. Cool.
But it's got that same kind of feel where it's meant for theater. It was not designed to be like a sporting arena. And I wouldn't think that this band would draw like an arena type crowd, but man, this place was packed. It was sold out. And
how many seats? I mean, how many people were at that show?
If I had to guess, maybe 20, 30,000.
Serious?
No.
Oh.
Probably 10,000 most.
Wow,
most.
That's still a big venue.
I mean, what's the size of like the Stanley or the Landmark? I mean, they're similar.
Stanley sits 3,500 maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was a little bit bigger than that. It felt a little bit bigger than that.
All right.
I'll say maybe 10,000.
That's what you said?
Yeah, 10,000.
Really?
I'm just saying.
10,000?
Maybe 10,000.
That's a good venue right there. That's half a Madison Square Garden almost.
All right. Maybe I'm a bad judge of size.
Well, it doesn't surprise me as much as you boast.
So he had an extra ticket, and no one would go with him because, you know.
Wilco sucks.
No, they don't. And I said, you know what? I'll go with him. I trust his judgment. So he
How old is this guy?
He's early 50s.
What's his first name?
Ray.
Ray. Well, there's your problem right there.
Well, someone can call him Ray.
Now, did you call him Ray?
Or I called
Ray
him
Ray J or Johnny? But you doesn't have to call him Mr. Johnson.
It's an old commercial.
30 years old. Right. Oh, my God.
So what he did is he gave me all this music to listen to sort of like prepare to, because I don't want to go to a concert not knowing any of the songs. I want to appreciate the band for what they are. So I spent like an entire week every day listening to this stuff. And it is definitely the kind of band that if you listen to it the first time around, you'll go, eh. And after maybe 10 or 12 listens, you're like, this stuff is great. I mean, really good stuff. And the thing that struck me is they've got a couple of live albums. The shoe hit me right in the forehead. The thing that kind of struck me was that they are really good live. I mean, the music is sort of perfect for a live performance. And their live albums are really, really
good. I would argue that energetic. All or most music is perfect for live performance.
Well, some things in the studio, you know, they're engineered really well and they can do some nice effects in the studio that you can't really get live because there's...
I would argue that the band Rush should never be heard live, but that's something else entirely.
So the live albums, I thought they had some of the versions of the songs were maybe 5 or 10 times even better than the studio versions. And then when I saw them live, I have got to say this is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Don't waft that in my way. I had seen Pink Floyd live in the 80s.
At the Dome. I was there.
And I was
on the floor, dude. I was in like row N.
I was on the floor too. And that was a fantastic show for a couple of reasons. One, it was because of the actual show, the spectacle, and because the music was good. But this show was no spectacle, all music. It was really, really good. Really good stuff. So I'm going to keep listening to Wilco. I think they've got a new album coming out this year.
Who's this new guitarist, this guy?
His name is Nels Klein.
Yeah, I was checking out the Nels Klein Singers, which ironically is an instrumental band. And the guy can play. You were saying you kind of like this. They kind of go into a kind of atonal sort of... There's no key center, and they kind of get into a kind of noise, I guess would be the word. And that's a little less structure. I like a little more structure in my music than that. I like there to be a key center. And you can certainly get in and out of that, and you can get away from the key center, but I like there to be a little more structure and a little more...
Maybe we should talk about that in another show or something.
The guy can play. I mean,
he can really play.
He was pulling chops out of his ass, and I went, holy cow, this guy can play. You know, and then they would kind of veer into a little more of an atonal... experimental thing, and I was okay, not so much, but then they would kind of get back into the main meat of the song and get a little more structured. Yeah, not bad. Probably not what I'd listen to a lot, but
I'm
the guy's got talent.
I'm gonna give you some of the Wilco stuff because it harkens to a lot of the music that we talked about that we like. I mean, there's some Steely Dan in there, some Steely Dan influences, there's some Beatle influences. And
you're a much bigger Beatles fan than I am.
Well, but they don't have a huge Beatles influence. There's a couple of songs where they actually overtly pay homage to the Beatles. But I'm telling you, this lineup is really good, really, really good stuff.
Sorry. And you enjoyed the show.
Great songwriting.
Despite the company.
No.
Despite Ray.
Ray's a great guy, and I'd go to any show with him, unlike you.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, you want to bust into a tune?
Yeah, let's hit some good music.
Let's check it out.
Train was done, there started up a stream. And moments lying there for all to see. You wrote, "Help me," on the window in the steam. Backwards so they'd see it from the street. I think I know what you mean. Silverstone will help you as you go. When it was shown, the builder just said no. So place it knowingly under your feet and run as far away from me as you can dream. Wandering eyes on the bed, no finish lines in our heads, at least not in mine. And I picked you out of everyone around, and I promised that I'd show you what I've found. I've been lonely to let someone enter in and see all of the places I have been. I won't be scared of it.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that feel good?
Sweet little tune.
That almost reminded me of Bill. Remember the band Bill?
Kind of, without the keyboard so much.
Well, Bill was kind of all over. They would do tunes with guitar. And in fact, I got an email from them. It's like, what's been going on with Bill? You know, they might even have
a
new record out. We should check them out.
I like Bill a lot.
This was a band called Up the Chain.
Yep. Silverstone was the name of the tune.
Can't say that I love their name, Up the Chain. What's that about?
Well, I wouldn't yank their chain.
No, and they're not off the chain.
off the heezy. Anyhow, what we're going to be doing right now is something we haven't done in a long time, and that is talk about a film that we've both seen. And this is a serious film. I mean, this has a lot of historical and sociological implications.
Sociological?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I know what film you speak.
It's called Get Smart.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, I mean, this film, I loved the television show Get Smart for a lot of reasons outside of the show itself. It was one of those shows that I grew up with. I was watching it all the time when I was a kid, and
yeah, and it was having such fun with the Bond genre, mm-hmm. you know, which was relatively new then. You know, mm-hmm. Sean Connery and the whole Bond thing was very new in the 60s, and I think Get Smart came out in 66 or something like that, which was the year I was born. So obviously, we didn't necessarily see these first run, but
yeah, but so this is a recent film. Was 2007, 2008?
Yeah, 2008.
Was it this year?
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Carell and Anne Hathaway. I have to say that the thing that was the best thing about this film was casting.
Yeah, they couldn't have cast it more perfectly.
Steve Carell was Maxwell Smart. I mean, he was made for that role.
Yeah,
I mean his look, the way that he always plays that deadpan kind of comedy, he just was built for that role. And Hathaway did a great job as Agent 99.
Who was supposed to be, I swear to you, she was supposed to be Agent 69 during the original
really?
Series. Yeah, her
really?
Number was supposed to be 69, but they changed it to 99 for obvious reasons.
They flipped it over.
That's right, 96. They could have done that. I mean, it's the same thing.
Seriously,
really.
They should have. Alan Arkin, out of nowhere.
Well, not out of nowhere. Apparently, him and Carell are friends or something because they wind up in a lot of movies together.
That's right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and Arkin is great. I've been a huge Alan Arkin fan since a made-for-TV movie in the 70s called The Defection of Seamus Kudirka. And I know that means nothing to you.
I think you've told me about that before.
He played a Russian defector. This was a true story. He wanted to defect onto a Coast Guard ship, and like the Americans wouldn't let him. And then the Americans let, like, when he did defect, he jumped from his like Russian trawler to the American Coast Guard boat. The American government let the Russians come on board and forcibly remove him and beat him on a U.S. vessel. I mean, but anyway, this movie was called The Defection of Seamus Kudirka. And I saw this when I was a kid and I was blown away. And I was like, who is that guy? And it was Alan Arkin. And I've been a fan of his since. And he was, you know, great as the chief. And, you know,
he does some leaping in this. I mean, for me, one of the best scenes with him was the meeting with the vice president and all these different leaders around this like round table, and he just leaps over the desk and attacks one of these guys. Yeah, Alan Arkin he's great.
What I liked about this film was that it really captured the camp of the original series, because the original series was obviously spoofing the whole James Bond genre. And Don Adams, who played the original Maxwell Smart, Get Smart, as far as I'm concerned, he's Buster Keaton. You know, I thought he was a slapstick genius, and he was a very underrated actor who probably didn't get all the credit he deserved. And Carell captured the spirit of Maxwell Smart and kind of brought his own thing into it, too. But really, it was a good homage to the original Maxwell Smart. And I think if Don Adams were alive, and he's not, but I think if Don Adams were alive, he would have appreciated this film and the performance. And hopefully they would have given a cameo if he were alive. But
that would have been great.
All we had was a Bernie Coppel cameo who played right. The original Siegfried.
No, I think that this was a lot of fun. Even if you hadn't seen the original Get Smart, I think you could have appreciated this because just some of the comments that Carell would make under his breath, you know, he alluded to the fact that he was quite overweight at one point.
That's right. Yeah, and this film starts out, he's not even an agent. He's an analyst for control, which was kind of fun.
Right, and in another great scene when he's sort of opening his heart to Agent 99, she's talking about how she underwent an entire facial reconstruction. And she was feeling sad because she said, you know, I used to look like my mother. And Carell says, I used to look like two of my mothers.
You know,
great line.
A lot of points go out to The Rock, Dwayne.
Yeah, he's good.
What's his name?
Don't even know. He's The Rock.
Yeah, no, but he's not credited as The Rock. He's credited with his real name.
Dwayne Stewart, Dwayne White. It's just a very bland name. I think The Rock serves him well.
Obviously, he's not an actor who can do Shakespeare, let's say. But for these kinds of roles, he's great. He's absolutely passable.
He's got good comic timing,
too. Yeah, he's got good timing, and he's a tough guy, so he can really get away with playing the tough guy and the kind of agent like he did in this film. And, you know, I had a few issues with the plot. I mean, obviously, you don't walk into a building where a president is viewing a concert quite as easily as these people got away with. But overlooking that...
That would have happened on the television show, though.
Have happened on the television show.
I think it was okay.
Yeah, but what I loved about this new Get Smart film, and I'm going to say this out loud, I hope they do a sequel. What I loved about this was that it took the camp and slapstick of the original series, of which Don Adams was genius, like I said. I mean, he's Buster Keaton as far as I'm concerned. And it took like this new Bond genre. I mean, they were really killing people. I mean, the action sequences...
That's true.
The action sequences were tight, and they were expensive, and they were real. And it kind of took the kind of Casino Royale action sequences. Because, I mean, even James Bond was campy in the 80s, right? When Roger Moore was playing James Bond, they brought some
Moonraker.
Camp to, yeah, they brought some, not just Moonraker, but they brought a lot of camp to the role. Particularly when Roger Moore was playing James Bond in particular. But, you know, Yeah, and then they kind of brought it back with this new Bond, and he's just a badass mofo. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in the action sequences were like that. I mean, this wasn't like Get Smart of the A-Team, where a lot of guns get fired but nobody gets hurt. I mean, they were really killing people in the action sequences. But, yeah, they brought it into that, like, you know, original campy ridiculousness of the original series with Don Adams and Barbara Feldon, the original 99, who played a character called Spy Girl on that Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt TV show that you liked so much.
Mad About You.
Yeah, she made an appearance on there as a character named Spy Girl.
I always dug Barbara Feldon.
Yeah, I didn't. I always thought she was a little too thin.
I don't know if this... I haven't watched a lot of the television shows in a while, but in this film...
The Get Smart Originals, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
In the film, Agent 86, the Don Adams character... Maxwell Smart was actually a competent analyst and a competent agent. He had a lot of smarts.
A bit long-winded, perhaps.
But. Right. He would fall into some things. You know, he'd slip up a little bit. I'm not so sure in the television show he was all that competent. He would kind of just fall into
solving the crimes, you know? Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, he was so likable, you know, it didn't matter. You know?
Right, and that worked for him. But I think that Carell pulls off he's really competent. He's just not a seasoned, like, field agent, and nobody's trusting him. I don't know if they could pull that off in the second episode, if they have a sequel. Because you know he's sort of rising to be an agent in this one.
Well, yeah, but they've got a secret weapon for the sequel. They've got Jaime
played. Oh, that's played right. By, he did make a cameo at the very
played
end.
Played by Patrick Warburton, who couldn't again talk about a perfect casting for Jaime.
He's got a great voice too.
And I mean, if I had to pick Jaime, it would have been Patrick Warburton to replace Dick
Sargent.
No, who played the original
Button?
Jaime? No, you love
Clark?
Him. No, seriously, who played Jaime in the
I can't remember
series?
His name.
Dick Gauthier, Richard Gauthier, Dick Gauthier. He was perfect in Warburton, nails it.
And he even pulls off Jaime in a different way. He has his different spin on it. Jaime's actually a competent robotic agent.
Hydromechanical something entity. Hydromechanical intelligent entity. Yeah, they actually came up with an acronym for Jaime for the movie too.
And in the original, he was just sort of like this dumb robot who did everything literally, you know.
Yes, man.
Right.
Jaime, kill the lights.
Jaime, give me a hand. And he'd unscrew his hand and he'll hand it over to him. So yeah, I give this like 7 thumbs ups.
Yeah, I thought this was a lot of fun and it got mixed reviews. You know, in the big reviewing scenes, but, you know, lots of fun, a wonderful homage to the original series. Steve Carell really nailed it.
I like him in everything.
Yeah, Steve Carell is just great. I haven't gotten tired of him yet. Like, I've gotten tired of Vince Vaughn and the other guy from Saturday Night Live there, the tall guy, you know, Ricky Bobby. I'm getting a little tired of them right
now.
Are
you? Yeah. He's still funny.
Carell is still funny to me. Again, you know, Hathaway, great. Alan Arkin. Wonderful.
Right.
The Rock, great. And we even had a little cameo. We had a new Agent 13 played by Bill Murray.
Oh, you know, right. In the tree.
Agent 13 would be like in a toaster or in the couch or in these impossibly small places. We had Bill Murray making a little cameo as Agent 13.
Just hiding in the knot of a tree.
I thought it was perfect.
It was awesome.
And I don't say this much, but I really want there to be a sequel. I really do.
Yeah, good
anyway,
stuff.
Anyway, I think we've got another tune.
Musical interlude number 2.
Check it out.
this unless it's on the television. And if they want a moral lesson to relieve the nervous tension,
that comes out and I'm okay. It's only just a rainy day.
I just have one thing to say about that song.
What's
ooh,
that?
Scary.
It wasn't scary to me. If ELO and John Lennon had a love child.
And a lot of people have thought that ELO tunes sound very much like the Beatles anyway. So
yeah.
That was Brian Scary and very much a John Lennon fan, I would say, after listening to some of his tunes. We'll play more of it in the future.
The name of that song was The Blood Club. Sounds like a vampire epic.
I am scared. Ooh, scary.
Smells like bets. So
you know,
up?
I saw a film 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to choose not to talk about it because we're running a little late. And because I want you to see it, because I want to talk about this film. It's Bill Maher's film, Religious. As John sighs.
I don't know. To me, I don't know.
You're afraid to see the film.
I'm not afraid to see the show.
You're scared. You're running a scared.
I'm not a scared. But it's kind of like me saying, hey, you really have to see the show where they tell Polish jokes for 2 hours.
And I'd be okay with it. I own an entire book of Polish jokes. Thank you very much.
Well, I know, but it can be a little bit tedious after a while. You know, okay,
it's
big
not.
Deal. You don't think that religion is worth anything. Blah, blah, blah. Say it over and over and over again.
I want to talk about it with you. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything.
Well,
I will absolutely talk to you about that subject endlessly. I just don't know if I want to be subjected to a film that's blasting me with it constantly.
Well, watch the freaking film. Just watch the effing film, and we'll talk about it.
All right, some other time.
And for those of you who aren't aware, I'll just mention briefly, Religious is Bill Maher as an agnostic. Bill Maher kind of believes like I believe.
I don't think
like,
he's an agnostic.
No,
he?
Yeah, he
is
would
he?
Say, I don't know. He
well,
would say,
good
I don't
for him
know.
For saying I don't know.
Well, I say I don't know either. I suspect there isn't a God, but I don't know. I'm
well,
an agnostic.
Good for you for acknowledging that you don't know everything.
I'm an agnostic who leans towards atheism. You know, I'm not a hard atheist like, you know, that Satan-worshipping Leo guy that we used to get on the show. But, you know, Maher, like me, would ask the question, I don't know. But it's also fair to ask questions of people like you, you know, who are believers, for example, or my dad or probably your parents or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get the chip out of your mouth and say something.
I'm saying crunch, crunch, crunch.
But, yeah, Bill Maher's film Religious takes a critical look at religion. And, you know, yes, it's a documentary and, yes, it's a comedy. But he just asks questions of people who take themselves seriously, like the man named Jesus who thinks he is the second coming of Christ and has a small ministry down in Miami. And, you know, he really honestly believes, and he assures us that he is the second coming of Christ. So how could it be, you know, anything but true?
All right. That kind of stuff, I would think it's funny, too. Because, you know, there's a huge spectrum of believers. And there are some people who are just, you know, playing out wacko. And there are some people who are non-believers who are just playing out wacko. But sitting across the table from one of them. And you're going to ask me a question. What was the question?
I don't think I had a question.
You said that it's fair to ask, you know.
No, it's fair to ask these questions in general. It's just an abstract statement.
Okay.
It's fair to ask these questions. I mean, you know, he's making this movie, and in the process of making it, I think, I can't say that I honestly know how many times he was asked this, but I mean, at least in the film that I saw, the final edit, three times he was just asking questions, and he was just like confronted by people who would say things like, I don't know what kind of documentary you're making, but if you're going to be critical of my God, we're going to have a problem. And then Bill would just look at him and go, I'm only asking questions. What are you so afraid of? You know? And, you know, it all goes back to what something Carl Sagan once said. And I believe he said this. I'm attributing this to him. Carl Sagan once said, any belief system which cannot withstand scrutiny is a belief system not worth having. And those are words I actually live by. You know, those are words that I choose to live by.
And believe it or not, so do I.
Yeah, I don't believe you. But anyway, Religious, Bill Maher. Actually, let's make it homework. John, I think it comes out in February, so we're not going to be able to really talk about this for a while.
Okay. It's too bad because I've got a nice vacation coming up after next week. And it would be nice to be able to watch a few films and
well,
talk about those.
Check it out on the internet and see when it's out.
Yeah,
I think it's not coming out until February. But, you know, everyone at home, check it out. Because I do want to talk about this. You know, I have issues with religion in general and all religions.
And I have issues with some of these stereotypical portrayals of religious, quote-unquote religious people. Because there are people like me who are critical thinkers, who are logical thinkers, I think I am, who choose to believe and actually look at their faith in a logical way and try to make sense of it and question it constantly.
Well, it all goes back to the Santa Claus paradox for me. But
well, I think that's an overgeneralization. It's a gross overgeneralization.
I think it's a fair question.
Well, and we'll talk about that. Anything you say is a fair question.
I think everything is a fair question.
Anything
should be allowed to be asked. It
sure.
doesn't matter what it is.
Sure, and I can laugh at anything you say, too.
Well, you do. Because
right.
you're an ass.
That's the game.
But anyway, I think we're done here. But yeah, Religious, check it out. And we'll talk about that in the future. Hopefully,
yes, we will.
Anyway.
I'll talk about you talking about it. Anyhow.
This is Rich Wilgus.
And this is John Tellerico.
And you've been listening to Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. Once again, back from 1 week of illness. And you can still hear a little sinus thing going on with me.
You got to see the drainage. It's awful.
Yeah, we've had a lot of interruptions in the show where I've had to actually blow my nose. But I feel way better than I did last week. And
you got to see the drainage tubes coming out. There's a bucket of snot in the
that's
corner.
That's right. I got a catheter in my penis as well.
There's the frat boy.
I know.
Anyhow, check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
And all of you out there, I think this is our Christmas show. This is our solstice, Christmas, whatever show. So everybody have a happy holidays.
Drive safely.
And we'll see you soon. You're listening to the VIB.